Give you three areas that I think, now, who am I addressing? I'm addressing God's people. I'm going to give you three areas that I believe we're losing. Three areas. You write these three areas down. I'm going to move rapidly. I know you don't think that's possible, but I'm going to move rapidly as I can. I'm going to give you three areas that we are losing and that are tearing the family unit apart. Are you ready? Let's begin. Number one. We've almost lost it all. We haven't lost it all the way, but to a large extent, we've lost this one. Are you ready? Number one, in the family, one area that we're losing the father-teacher. We're losing the father-teacher. Mark that down. Scriptures teach in the book of Ephesians 5 that men are to be the spiritual heads of their home. Do you agree with that? They are to be the spiritual leaders in their family. We need our men to assume that role. That's a God-given role for every man. You need a father teacher. Now, I think it's very important to have that. In my family, I had two boys. And one of the things that I wanted to do with regard whenever they were born, the most important thing that I considered is I wanted to train them, as a man, I wanted to train them about God. I wanted to teach them the Scriptures. I wanted to teach them about God spoken into existence in 624. And I began, as little as, when they were very small, and tried to constantly teach that. Because I considered my most important role as a dad to them was to teach them the spiritual things. You say, well, Jeff, why would you consider that the most important thing? How long are you going to spend on this earth, folks? The average lifespan of man is 70 years. That's not real long. And after 70 years, and you're not guaranteed that, we know that. But after that, what happens? You go out into eternity. How long is eternity? Is it a billion years or a trillion years? There is no way that you can put a price tag on how important it is to instruct your children in the things of God. So I wanted my boys to learn about the Lord. And I wanted them to learn about the Lord from their dad. Now their mother taught them too. We both did. But I wanted to be, listen to me, I wanted to be a father teacher. Because I figure, you know, when kids are 1 to 5, 1 to 6, their daddies and mothers are very important to them, aren't they? And you can have a tremendous influence on them, especially when they're that age. And that's to continue. You're to continue to instruct them in the ways of God. I wanted my sons wise unto salvation. I wanted them to know about how to be saved. So I wanted to teach them about Christ. Of Timothy it was said, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. I wanted them to learn what was right and wanted them to learn what was wrong. I wanted them to learn how to live so as to please God. So I wanted to be a teacher of Bible truth to them. And folks, I'm not talking about men in the world now. You don't expect a worldly man to teach Bible truth, do you? I'm talking to godly men, men that knows the Lord. We need to assume that spiritual leader in the family role. And we need to instruct our boys and girls in the ways of God. All God's people said, you need to be a father teacher. We've lost it. Now, you know, I could have taught my boys how to catch a football. And I could taught them how to shoot a basketball and how to fish and all these things. But folks, 100 years from now, what difference is that going to make how they fish? Or how many balls they caught, or how many touchdowns they make. There's nothing wrong with teaching those things. I love for dads to teach their sons to be able to do those things, for example. But the most important things is the spiritual training in the Word of God. That's what lasts eternity. That's what shapes their life. That's what shows them how to live. So we've lost that father teacher to a large extent. That's who's addressed in Scripture. I'm going to try to show you a couple verses, and then we'll move off this one and move to the next one. Turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 38. I think this is the right one. Isaiah, chapter 38. want you to listen to this, fellas. I could look at a lot of things, but just I'm going to get the point across and then move forward. We're losing the father teacher. There's a text that I've often enjoyed reading. It's kind of been the theme of my life. The Lord used this particular text, and not this text, but another text I'm talking about. The Lord used a text in Matthew 16 to speak to my heart. And dads, I want you to listen to this. Men, I want you to listen to this today. What does it profit a man if he gained the whole world, but he lose his soul? What would it profit if you so trained your children that they got the best job in the world? Isn't that how we condition our children? We pushing and pushing and pushing to get that good job so they can make that big, big money, so they can get that big house, so that they can get that great car, so they can get this, all these things. That's how we condition them all the way up. And so that comes for them the most important thing in their life. That's a driving force it gets to be behind their life. And that's usually what they see, too. You ask anybody how they're doing today, they'll tell you how much money they're making. That's how you measure success. But my friend, if you die without Christ, then it don't make any difference how much money you got, or how big your car is, or how nice your home is. Then you're out into eternity. The most important things, men, is the spiritual things. That's why you want to teach them about the Lord. What does it profit if they become a president of a company, but they die without Christ? Or they live a life without serving the Lord? That's the most important things. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you agree with me this morning? That's the most important things. And that's when you really need that father teacher that trains. Isaiah chapter 38. Notice what it says in verse 19. It says, The living, he shall praise thee. I do this day. Notice what it says, the father to the children. See what it says? The father to the children shall make know thy truth. Look at Ephesians chapter 6 says, it's addressing fathers in Ephesians 6. It says to bring your children up in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. You know who it tells to do that in Ephesians 6? Fathers. You're to teach them. You're to instruct them in the things of the Lord. In Exodus chapter 12, and I'm going to turn you there. Remember the Passover, whenever Moses and them was getting ready to come up out of the land? He was talking to the fathers when he said, now when your children come and ask you why you do this, you make sure you tell them. If that would happen in 2008, if the sons or the daughters would come to the fathers, even in Christian homes, and ask them to explain the Passover, they'd say, go ask your mother. Because it's the mother and the woman that's more of a spiritual leader today than it is the men. We've shoved that off on the ladies. Thank God for godly women that teach their children spiritual things. Men, that's your responsibility. Ladies, I'm going to warn you. When you're thinking about getting married, when you're getting ready to choose a spouse, and men also, you're choosing the spiritual leader of your children. You're choosing the spiritual leader of your children. Even in the case of the woman, you want to make a wise choice with regard to that. Wise choice. It needs to be someone that fears the Lord. So the first thing we've lost today, I'm talking about in Christian homes. We're losing the father teacher. Men don't read the Bible no more. Listen to me now. Our men aren't reading the Bible. If I could ask, I'm not going to do it, believe me. If I could ask all of our men to stand up, and I'm not. And if I could ask you if you read your Bible, I'm getting irritated. I'm trying not to get irritated. But if I asked you if you spent 15 minutes reading that book this week, could you stand? I wonder how many of our men could stand and say, hey, I've read it 16 minutes. How can you expect the Bible to have an influence over you if you spend 15 minutes reading, if you spend that much, and you spend 4 or 5 hours in front of a television all day? Which one you think is going to be the biggest impact? How do you expect to instruct your children if you never read God's Word? Never read it. Your children need to see you reading God's Word. Ken Ham, as I've mentioned, the man of God that made the Christian Museum in Kentucky, His memory, you know, his memory is his father's. His memory of his father is more than anything else. He's got his daddy's glasses in the museum. You can see him over there. And his daddy's Bible. Because when he thinks about his dad, that's what he thinks about. My dad was always reading the Scriptures. And had a love for the Scriptures. That's what your children need to think about you. That's what they need to think about you. We're losing the father teacher. You need to teach them. The book of Deuteronomy says, talk about me when you walk along the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Because we're losing the father teacher, the family unit is falling completely apart. You got to have that. Now, none of you can do anything about that. I don't have no control over your family. I just have control over mine. You need to teach them. And you that have younger children, you need to teach them. Teach them those Bible stories. Bring them to the house of the Lord. But teach them. Number two, turn to Proverbs chapter 31. Pick up the pace a little bit. Everybody see the first one? Now, guys, if you didn't spend 15 minutes in God's Word this week, would you agree with me that there's a problem? What kind of church do we got if we ain't got our men that's supposed to be the spiritual heads not spending no more than 15 minutes in God's Word? How spiritual, Eddie, can you be if you don't spend but 15 minutes a week in God's Word? How can you expect to be influenced by the Word of God if you don't ever get it? I mean, you see what we got? Now, if I'd ask everybody, you'd be surprised how many men never read it. Now, how do you expect to be a spiritual teacher if you never read the spiritual book? All God's people say it. I know you might not like me for these things, but I really don't care. I mean, I'm not here to try to make all kinds of friends. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. We need father teachers, and we're losing them. And that's one reason the family's falling apart. All right, I'll let the fellows rest a little bit. Now let's move to Proverbs chapter 31. Here's the second area that we're lacking. We're lacking virtuous women. And guys, when you're seeking to marry somebody, you know the kind of woman you want to seek? You want to seek a virtuous woman. You're going to seek a virtuous woman to marry. All right. What is a virtuous woman? Well, we're going to look at her priorities. I think women, don't have to put an S on women, do you? I think women in 2008 America's priorities are different than they was at one. I'm not talking about worldly women. I'm talking about women that profess faith in Christ. I think their priorities has changed. Do you agree? Oh, I think there's a big change in women's priorities today. Proverbs chapter 31 is talking about a virtuous woman. And this is the second area that I feel that we're lacking in. But notice what it says in verse 30. Here's the first characteristic. We're going to get the virtuous woman has a priority list. And we're going to look at that priority list. Number one, favor is deceitful. Beauty is vain. But a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. The first characteristic of a virtuous woman, her top priority is her God. Somebody say amen. That's her top priority. You want to marry a woman whose top priority is God. Oh, God's people say it. That should be your most important attribute that you pick out. That should be the most important attribute that you pick out. It's a woman that fears the Lord. And the word fears God means that she has a reverence and respect for God and the things of God. And guys, if you got a woman that loves the Lord, number one, loves God and the things of God, and supports you in spiritual things, before you leave this service, silently, you thank God for her. Because this text says her price is far above rubies and diamonds. So the first priority of a woman that fears the Lord, or of a virtuous woman, is that she fears the Lord. That's the first priority of her life. Her priority is going to be her God and the things of God. And then that's why you want to pick her, because when you have children, she will enforce that with you on their children. All right, number two. Now I want you to watch how many times this word is listed. Her second priority of the virtuous woman is her household. Notice what it says in verse 15. She rises while it's yet night and gives meat to her household. You look down in verse 21. She is not afraid of the snow for her household. You look down in the latter part of verse 21. For all her household are clothed with scarlet. Verse 27. She looks well to the ways of her household. It mentions it four times in the same text. You know what a household is? It's a husband and children. We're not talking about a house, physical house. It's her household. It's her husband and her children. After her God, after a virtuous woman's God, her next priority is her husband and her children. Guys, you want to find a woman like that. And if you got a woman like that, again, you thank God for her. Now, I do realize that, especially in 2008, a lot of our women work. My wife works. I wouldn't have no insurance, as a matter of fact, if my wife didn't work. She does labor. But her priority is not her career. Got a lot of career girls today, a lot of career women. But if you have a household, you are never to put your career over your family. And men, you're not to do it either. Your priority list should be who's number one? God, then your husband and your children. And when that gets all messed up, and I think it is messed up, when you get to putting your career ahead of your God and your husband and your children, that's when you have a mess. And that's exactly what you see happening. You see it happening all over. You see it happening in churches all over. The priority of the women today, in a large extent, is not God, husband, and children. It's changed. Years ago, me and my wife made a decision, and I'm going to encourage you to do the same. Now, you listen to what I have to say. Because this ain't real popular either, I realize. I don't think no one can raise little kids like their mother. I don't think no one can raise them like the mother. Now, my wife's a lot smarter than I am about certain things. And when my children were small, 1 to 7, she was at home. You say, why is she at home? Well, she could have got a lot better job than me. I'm dumber than a fence post. And she had a lot better. She had opportunity for a job that would have paid more money than I made. She really did. And I said, well, but we had two little boys. Two little ones. 5, 1. And she asked me about this. She said, I just think that they need you right now more than that job needs you. Ages 1 through 7 is one of the most influential times in her life. And I do believe the old saying, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Have you ever heard it? I believe that's true. But many times it's not the mommy that's rocking the cradle. She's too busy with her career. When they're that age, they need their parent. They need especially their mom. God knew that, obviously. And she can have an overwhelming influence on her children. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. No one can influence them like her. No one can have an impact on them like her. And I think that's the best place. I think the devil knew what he was doing when he took the mother out and put her out in the secular world. I think he was behind that. I really do. No one can raise them like the mother. So ladies, that's the second thing that I believe that we've lost today as far as the family is concerned. We've lost the father teacher, but we've lost that priorities of the mother, where the priority is God, husband, and children. I think we've lost that. I think we're losing it, and I think that's the second reason why the family's falling apart. I'm not talking about worldly families. Who am I addressing? Talking about Christians. Everybody got those first two areas? Everybody got those two? I believe what I'm telling you is the truth, and I really, or I wouldn't be up here sharing it with you. I believe what I'm saying is biblical and true. And I think you can look at these things, and these are a direct reason why the family is falling apart. Not just in the world, but in churches. All right, let's look at the third area. Third area. Now, if you're back here thinking, well, my priorities are straight, wonderful. I'm glad your priorities are straight. I'm not addressing you. I'm addressing those whose priorities are not straight. Okay? All right. Let's move on. Philippians 4. I believe this probably will be close to the last verse. Here's the third area that we're lacking. We need to get back, Brother Coy, to the old past. The old past. I had a father teacher. And I had a mother whose priorities were straight. And it impacted me. And I'm thankful for them. Really am. We need to get back to that. Number three. Philippians 4, look at verse 9. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. You got to set the example. Here's the third area that we're lacking. We're not setting a very good example for them to follow. Listen to me, fellas. I guess I'm talking to both. Listen to me, guys and gals. What you are in the home, what you are in the home is what you are. What you are in church, everybody puts on their church face on Sunday mornings. What you are in the home is what you are. Do you know who sees you in the home besides God? Your children do. They know. They know what's important to you, and they know what's not important to you. Now, if you tell them how important God's house is, if you tell them how important God's house is, and they see you laying at home when you should be at church, that's going to counteract how important God's house is. Do you agree? Does that not make common sense? If my dad... Now, my dad made me come. Stephanie and Daniel's dad made them come. Others of you were made to come. If they told me how important God's house was, and then I seen them laying at home and never coming to God's house, I would have thought, that's not real important. If I never seen them reading the Word of God, I would have said, oh, it must not be that important. Here's what I'm saying. They need to see you. They need to see you serving God. They need men. They need to hear you praying. They need to walk through the house instead of you watching HBO and something you ain't got no business watching anyway, and then you turn it off real fast because you're afraid they'll see you. They need to see you with God's Word open and your glasses on if you need them, reading it. They need to hear you praying. They need to see you in the morning, Sunday mornings or Sunday evenings, and get you shaving, getting yourself ready to come to God's house. They need to see those things. If spiritual things is so important to you, they need to see that in you. But I'm telling you this morning, in 2008, that's not what they see. The things of God's always on the back burner. The things of God is what you do once you've done everything else. And I'm telling you, God's house, the things of God, needs to be number one to God's people. That's all I'm saying. You hate me for that? So there needs to be an example. Not only must we get back to the Father, the old path of the Father teacher. But not only must we get back to getting the ladies' priorities straight of what's most important in their lives. But we also must set the example in the home for them to follow and see. What not only you have heard, but also what you've seen in me. Do. seen in me do. The influence of the home is can't be measured in this life. But it backs up what you say. You ever heard this question? Used to be an old preacher that told me this one time. Said, your actions speak so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying. I used to like that. Your actions does speak. It tells your children what's important. It tells how much you love the Lord. All of these things are shown by what you do. I would rather someone show me they love me as tell me they love me. How about you? And you show you love the Lord and you show your priorities in your life by what you do. Those are three areas that I think are lacking. Three areas. The father teacher, the virtuous woman whose priorities are her God, her household, and then her career. And then the example set in the home for them to follow. I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about God's people. I think God's people's drifted. I think that's the reason why it's so bad. I think the key is God's people. I don't think it's a politician. I think it's God's people. And we need, if we don't, with His strength, change, what's going to happen to the next generation? We'll continue to slide. We'll continue to get worse. Have you ever noticed how churches has changed? Have you ever noticed how churches has changed? I listen to a lot of old preachers on sermon audio. Actually, I don't listen to them. I listen to people read their sermons. Some of their sermons are like an hour and a half to 2 hours long. And people used to pack churches and would sit outside to listen to the Word of God. Walk miles to come to listen to the Word of God. You can't get people to come to listen to the Word of God today. So what churches have started doing to counteract that, you know what they started doing? They started entertaining people. You know, you have a bingo night and a bowling night, and then they have a gymnasium to play in, and then they got, then when you come to church, then they'll sing to you for 50 minutes and have a band and a drum beating and a guitar playing and a jumping and a screaming, and then they'll have 5 minutes worth of preaching, if that. You can't grow spiritually on those kinds of things. Desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow there. But you grow from the Word. You don't grow with these other things. There's somebody talking about me one time, and they said, you know, our preacher preaches four times, or how many times do I preach? 3 times a week, not counting, four counting the radio broadcast. He preaches 3 times a week. 3 times? 40 minutes long? Well, I couldn't stand that. Well, maybe we ought to change something. Yep. There ain't nothing wrong with me. There ain't nothing wrong with this church. There's something wrong with someone says you're saved and can't stand 40 minutes of preaching 3 times a week. Bad wrong. We need to get back to the old past. Wherein is the good way? That's the second one. Now, if you're here today, and this is kind of a tough message, I think, but I think everything I said today is true. What I want you to do, if you see yourself failing in these ways, you need to repent of that if you're saved. Lord, I need to get back to where I need to be. I need to get my priorities straight. You need to be number one. My family and all these other things need to come after. I need to set a better example in the home. I need to read the Word of God more as a Christian. It'll change you. It'll change your family too. Now, if you're here today and unsaved, I wasn't talking to you about those things. If you're here today and unsaved, before you can even get and live a life for the Lord, you have to be saved first. It mentioned in Jeremiah chapter 6, you would find rest for your souls. There's only one place you can find rest for your souls. And you know where that is? Jesus said, listen to me, Matthew 11, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and you will find rest for your souls. Salvation rest. Do you know what that is? It's the rest of knowing that Jesus would come, He's coming for you. It's the rest of knowing that if you die, you'd go to be with Him. Folks, today I know I'm saved. I don't think, wish, or hope, but I know I am. If you're here today and unsaved, you can't walk these old paths until you're first. You got to get to them, and you get to them through Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you to trust Him today as your Savior. There needs to be a day and a time in your life when you receive Jesus as your Savior. Can I ask you a question? Have you ever trusted Him? If you would die today, listen to me, it could happen. If you would die today, would you go to be with Him? If Jesus would come today, would He be coming for you? The Bible says that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And He can save you right there where you're at if you'll trust Him. Let's all stand.